Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to this true crime and real-time news roundup from Odyssey stations across the country. This week, we're focusing on updates to three cases. One is the 2011 death of Ellen Greenberg in Pennsylvania. This case has recently been covered in the Hulu documentary series Death in Apartment 603. The latest development in the case has left the director of that series and Greenberg's family shocked, according to reports. We'll also hear an update on the suspect arrested for opening fire on a Dallas Immigration and Customs Enforcement building last month, including his unusual fears. But first, we'll go to WWJ News Radio in Detroit. This week, the station reported on the strange case of a mother and son who were charged in the same murder that's been under investigation for months. Here's WWJ reporting on the crime in April of this year.
According to the Michigan State Police, which is the lead agency in the investigation into the now confirmed death of 17-year-old London Thomas, the two individuals are, quote, believed to be involved, unquote, in her disappearance back on the 5th of April. Thomas was last seen around midnight that morning after having been dropped off at the Inkster home of her 23-year-old boyfriend, who has previously been described as a person of interest in this case. Thomas's body was discovered at a home in Southfield in the area of 8 Mile and Telegraph Saturday night. Details of what led investigators to that location or a possible cause of death have not been shared as the investigation continues.
Here's another report on the case from this spring.
Her body was found this past Saturday inside of an SUV in Southfield. Two suspects were arrested and then released. However, one of them was arrested again this morning. 48-year-old Sharla Pendergrass has been charged with lying to police.
That the defendant did knowingly and willfully make a statement or statements to the office that she knew were false or misleading regarding the following material fact or facts relating to the investigation that London Thomas left 27262 Carlisle, Inkster, Michigan at 7 a.m. on April 5th, 2025 on foot through the front door, alive and well.
Pendergrass was given a $50,000 cash surety bond and ordered not to contact witnesses or anyone in Thomas's family. She could spend up to 4 years in prison if convicted.
This Wednesday, Pendergrass and her son were charged in Thomas's murder.
Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy has charged 23-year-old Jalen Pendergrass and 49-year-old Sharla Pendergrass with second-degree murder in the killing of 17-year-old London Thomas. Thomas vanished back in April after she was last seen at Jalen's house in Inkster. Her body was later found in a sealed bin inside an SUV in Southfield. Cause of death was ruled homicide by asphyxia. Both mother and son are set to be arraigned tomorrow on those second-degree murder charges, as well as tampering with evidence.
At that arraignment, Jalen Pendergrass was denied bond altogether, and his mother's was set at $5 million. Thomas's father, Cedric Salisbury, told WWJ News Radio's Charlie Langton that he was still angry, but that he was also happy and satisfied at the same time. Now we'll head to Dallas, Texas, where KRLD Radio has been covering the shooting that claimed the lives of two immigrants at an ICE facility, as well as the shooter last month. Here's the station breaking the news on September 24th.
There are at least 30 Dallas police vehicles that I can see in this one shot at 35E and Empire Central. It's right near 35E, where 35E and 183 merge, just a little north of downtown Dallas. And there is a heavy police presence, has been there since just before dawn, just before 7 o'clock, when evidently this gunfire erupted. Evidently, we are hearing that there was some kind of shooting at the ICE facility this morning in Dallas. Reports of a possible sniper and people wounded in this as well. And if you're driving by on 35E at 183, you are slowing to a crawl, as right along the service road, there are just police vehicles parked as far as the eye can see. You can see 30 in this one shot, but we've gotten reports of up to 50 Dallas police vehicles on the scene responding to this possible shooting this morning.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coverage continued later that day.
So I started like panicking.
Multiple rounds were fired into the building indiscriminately, into the lobby doors, the windows.
I'm being told by several workers, not from immigration, that there's a guy on top of the building at the law office that overlooks the INS office.
We're a country and a city that needs prayer.
Special agent in charge of the Dallas FBI field office, Joe Rothrock, says this is the latest act of targeted violence that the FBI is investigating. He says anyone with information should call 1-800-CALL-FBI to report it.
Any piece of information will be helpful, but this will be an ongoing investigation between us, a number of federal partners, and our local partners, again, to ensure that anyone responsible is held accountable.
Three detainees were shot. The Department of Homeland Security says the sniper fired indiscriminately at the building and hit a van where the victims were.
He's confirmed one of the detainees is a Mexican national. Ministry of Foreign Affairs reporting that the Mexican national is one of the wounded victims that are in the hospital. The consulate has contacted the victim's family to provide support and legal assistance. The North America unit chief worried of through and conveyed their concern through diplomatic channels. They're asking for a full investigation, and they also want unrestricted access to that Mexican citizen.
We now know more about the man believed to be behind it all. KRLD's Austin York says the investigation heads to Collin County and Oklahoma.
The suspect has been identified as 29-year-old Joshua John of Fairview. As police closed in, John reportedly took his own life on the roof of the office building next door to the facility. John grew up in Allen, and his older brother described him as unique, although he would not elaborate further. John was also unemployed, according to his brother, and was supposed to move in with his parents in Oklahoma. His brother also says Joshua wasn't political and didn't seem to have strong opinions about ICE. He says he wasn't a good shot either, although he did know how to use a gun. His brother says when he saw Joshua 2 weeks ago, nothing seemed to be out of the ordinary. John was arrested for marijuana possession out of Collin County in 2016.
By September 30th, the station had more information about the shooting victims.
including a man who died from his injuries around a week after the shooting.
32-year-old Angel Garcia was removed from life support this morning.
And this comes as the ICE field office in Dallas is scheduled to reopen this morning. Walk-ins will be accepted. In a statement, ICE says it will also send out notices with a new report date to all migrants who are unable to attend their check-ins while the office was closed.
In other news, the wife of the man killed in last week's ICE shooting in Dallas says she and her husband had been planning for his deportation, but not for his death.
I wanted him to know my family. We had many plans. I have no one here. No one. I have no family here in the United States. All I had was him.
Through an interpreter, Berenice Prieto tells NBC5 that her husband, Norlin Guzman, called from a Tarrant County jail the night before the attack to say he might soon be sent to El Salvador. Prieto says Guzman was a hardworking man who was wrongly labeled as a criminal and that the couple had plans to move together to Mexico to be near her children. She now says she no longer feels safe in Texas and still wants justice for him and the other victims.
This all coming as Senator John Cornyn issues a warning after that Dallas ICE sniper attack. Cornyn says we're reaching a level of unrest not seen in a very long time.
We're beginning to see in our country a level of political violence that is not and should not ever be considered normal. But this is a warning signal about the direction we are heading in as a nation.
He says one of the ways we got here involves the demonizing of free speech and the vilification of those simply carrying out their duty.
This week, more information about the shooter was revealed.
New documents show Jan had a great fear of radiation from time he spent working on a cannabis farm in Washington State near a site used by the highly secretive Manhattan Project that developed the World War II atomic bombs. Police also say Jan had developed a real fear of plastics to the point where he took to wearing cotton gloves. Investigators also learned he had acquired a rifle, which he apparently sighted in on his family's property in Oklahoma not long before the ICE shooting. Furthermore, investigators found clues about a very troubled family life.
For our final case, we'll start in 2011. That's when the body of Ellen Greenberg, a 27-year-old first-grade teacher, was found with more than 20 stab wounds in the apartment she shared with her fiancé. Over the past 14 years, there's been conflict about whether this death should be considered a homicide or a suicide. Greenberg's family has fought against considering her death a suicide, citing her injuries, which included stab wounds on the back of her head. KYW News Radio in Philadelphia reported on the case this November.
Well, the Chester County District Attorney's Office updates its investigation in the 2011 death of Ellen Greenberg in Manayunk. Now, her death was initially ruled a homicide, but then declared a suicide. Here's KYW Suburban Bureau Chief Jim Melwert.
A statement from the Chester County DA's office says, based on the current state of the evidence, we cannot prove beyond a reasonable doubt a crime was committed. 27-year-old Ellen Greenberg was found dead in her apartment on January 26, 2011 by her fiancé. He said the door was locked from the inside and he had to break in, then found her dead in the kitchen. According to court records, an autopsy found 20 stab wounds to her head, neck, and abdomen, including a knife still in her chest. The Philadelphia Medical Examiner's Office initially ruled it a homicide, but about a month later, her manner of death was changed to suicide. Her family has been fighting in court for more than a decade to change the ruling, pointing to evidence the body may have been moved and the wounds could not have been self-inflicted. Over concerns of a conflict of interest, the Pennsylvania Attorney General's office turned the investigation over to the Chester County DA's office. The statement from the DA's office says detectives reviewed previous investigations and conducted new interviews and consultations with an independent forensic expert. The office says while they can't currently meet the burden of beyond a reasonable doubt, at this time the investigation's listed inactive but remains open.
Here's another update from KYW this February.
The family of a woman who was found stabbed several times inside her Manayunk apartment more than a decade ago has settled with the city. This coming hours before their civil case was set to begin. According to lawyers for the parents of Ellen Greenberg, the city will re-examine how the 27-year-old died back in 2011, suffering from about 20 stab wounds. The medical examiner ruled the death a suicide. Their attorney, Joe Pedroza, spoke with our news partners at NBC 10.
So hopefully that'll be a new investigation. All the information that we've acquired over the years will be presented, and I don't see any reason why they wouldn't reach the same result.
The Greenberg family sued the city medical examiner and other investigating entities, arguing that the examiner first ruled their daughter's death a homicide but changed it to suicide after a meeting with detectives.
Christy Strauser, host of our own Who Killed Strawberry podcast and my boss, was actually the one who told me about the Hulu docuseries on Greenberg's case. It began airing just last month, and viewers, along with others interested in the case, took to Reddit this week after the following news broke.
The Philadelphia Medical Examiner will explain to a judge today why she believes Ellen Greenberg's stabbing death was a suicide. The ME originally ruled it a homicide but then changed it. Greenberg's family believes she was murdered. Their lawyer says this latest report is worthless. KYW's Sean McDevitt reports.
Back in 2011, the then Philadelphia Medical Examiner ruled the death of Ellen Greenberg as a homicide, but switched it to a death by suicide. In agreement earlier this year between the city and the Greenberg family in an effort to settle two lawsuits, the chief medical examiner, Dr. Lindsay Simon, launched another review and is staying with the current ruling of death by suicide. In a 32-page document, she says she based her decision on several factors, including Greenberg's struggle with anxiety. She added that the body that was found on the kitchen floor of Greenberg's apartment had 23 stab wounds. She says the wounds were on the back of her head, neck, and front torso. Dr. Simon says, although unusual, Greenberg would be capable of inflicting these injuries to herself. There was no one else's DNA on the knife and no sign of a struggle. Joe Pedraza is the Greenberg family's lawyer. He spoke with NBC 10.
This is very, very disheartening. That young woman, Ellen Greenberg, was murdered.
Pedraza says he's not shocked by the ruling, but he's very troubled by the contents of the report, calling the entire document tripe.
Greenberg's parents still reject the ruling, according to reports. Stay tuned to Odyssey stations and to our true crime updates here to keep up to date on these cases and other true crime stories you might have missed from coast to coast. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to WWJ News Radio in Detroit, KRLD Radio in Dallas, and KYW News Radio in Philadelphia. You can find true crime and real-time updates by subscribing to On Deadline, Who Killed Strawberry, or Bitter Academia on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.